couple of weeks ago, I was hunting up on Lake Nurka, better known as Second Lake to many around the area. I love spending time up there. The beauty isn't something that's easily captured on film. It's something you have to be surrounded by to truly appreciate. What I was looking for while I was up there was big critters, specifically brown bear and moose. I saw a handful of the former and nothing of the latter. I also saw a fair number of smaller animal species, including red squirrels, porcupines, gulls of many types, loons, mergansers, thousands of spawning reds, a host of assorted songbirds, sculpins, and salmon fry, to name just a few. I also saw two others of the larger species, namely two fellows in dry suits, face masks, and snorkels. They were floating in a stream near me one afternoon, taking underwater photos of salmon. Apparently my camo was pretty good because it was a good long while before one of them spotted me, despite the fact they were within 30 yards or so for much of that time. But I digress. It wasn't just the animals, but the opportunity to watch them doing what they do when no one is around, such as watching juvenile mergansers eagerly chase after salmon fry in an attempt to catch a meal. So there was a whole lot of cool stuff to see up there. There usually is. There was one other animal, and a small one at that, that I got to see up close and personal. And some might suggest it's a species that might make a better topic around Halloween. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Well, if that comment about Halloween didn't spill the beans on what animal it was, then I would suggest maybe you need a second cup of coffee. Whereas skeletons, werewolves, and zombies aren't small and aren't indigenous to Alaska. As many of you have probably guessed, it's bats I'm talking about. A lot of folks probably don't really think of bats when they think of Alaska. It's much easier to visualize large caves and areas of the lower 48 when we think of bats, or maybe tropical areas around the equator. But Alaska? Yeah, actually we have them in fair numbers in some areas. In fact, during my trip, bats flitted across my mind as a topic, even as they flitted about mighty close to my head, as I stood relieving myself in the wee morning hours. What clinched the deal was, after I got back, KDLG's own Rob Carpenter suggested, "You should do one on bats. We've been seeing a lot of them lately." So it is that we'll take a look at bats on today's episode. First of all, Alaska has five species of bats known to live here. The little brown bat, the silver-haired bat, Keene's long-eared bat, the California bat, and the long-legged myotis. However, four of those five are native only to the Panhandle region of Alaska. The only species that's found north of that region is the little brown bat. Boy, scientists really went all out naming that one, didn't they? Well, let's see. It's really kind of small, and it's brown. Just kidding. At least it's a very descriptive name because it completely describes what these bats look like. So if you have bats around your home, or you've seen bats while you're out camping, you could pretty much bet the farm that you're seeing little brown bats, and there's almost no chance you're wrong about that. If you're hanging around Juneau or Sitka, though, you might want to take a closer look first before placing that bet. While I'm sure everyone could identify a bat if they saw one, after all, most of us grew up coloring or cutting out bats during the Octobers of our grade school years, and bat wings look unmistakably like bat wings, whether flesh or construction paper. I do think there's a certain amount of ignorance about them. For one thing, bats aren't rodents. I've heard several people make comments to the effect that they are rodents. It's easy enough to understand why people might think that. They're small, they're furry, and they're mammals, not unlike voles or mice. Bats, though, are kind of off on their own, belonging to the order Chiroptera, which is Greek for handwing. They are the only mammals capable of sustained flight. A few other mammal species have wing-like flaps of skin, such as flying squirrels, but these species are only capable of gliding. Bats fly, and amongst mammals, true flight is unique to them. Again, our area's bats are little brown bats. Little browns are about 3 to 4 inches in body length and have a wingspan of 8 to 9 inches. The body is covered in short, dense fur that's some shade of brown on the back and pale gray on the belly. If you get a chance to look close enough, something some of you might balk at, the hairs on their back are long and glossy. They have large ears, which, when laid forward, reach almost to the nostril. The membrane that forms the wing is largely hairless and either dark brown or black in color. They have 5 digits on both the fore and hind limbs. They also have 38 teeth, though most of us will probably never get a chance to check that out for ourselves. The females are larger than the males. I understand that some people get freaked out by bats or have some fear of them. I get that, I do. Hollywood and popular culture have certainly done nothing to make them look a little more cute or cuddly, and their previously mentioned association with Halloween doesn't help either. They can be a carrier of rabies, which, while true, is often blown way out of proportion, because many other common animals are more likely to be carriers. For what it's worth, there have been just 2 documented cases of rabies from bats ever in Alaska, and both of those were down in the panhandle. Add in their funky, frantic flying patterns, and they're just never going to win any contest, based on how warm and fuzzy they make people feel. However, I would suggest that if you live in Alaska, you should be a big fan of bats. Here's why. Most bat species are insectivores. They eat insects. More specifically, they feed heavily on flying insects. Little brown bats often hunt over water or along the edges of lakes and streams, which would certainly explain the ones that hovered around me during those early morning excursions. When I say their diet leans heavily on flying insects, what I'm really saying is that they have a thing for mosquitoes. In fact, a single bat can eat as many as 5,000 mosquitoes in a single night. In light of that, I say bring on the bats, and given the number of mosquitoes we seem to have, well, the more the merrier. Bats do their hunting at night. They're nocturnal, sleeping during the day. Most feeding activity happens during the first few hours after dark, but they remain active all night. They're able to chew and process their food very quickly, not unlike teenage boys on Thanksgiving. In fact, it takes less than an hour for items to pass through their digestive system. They rely on something called echolocation for hunting. They emit high-pitched sounds which bounce off prey species and other objects and come back to them. In this way, the sound waves allow them to pinpoint food and to navigate. The sounds they emit are too high in frequency to be heard by humans. They fly at average speeds of a little over 10 miles per hour while hunting, but can attain speeds of more than 20 miles per hour. Because they are small animals, there's always the other end of the food chain, where the bats are prey for others. Some predators across all their range, not just Alaska, include owls, snakes, domestic cats, and larger spider species. Small carnivorous mammals can also take a toll. Just the other day, I was listening as a colleague of mine at the refuge office was sharing about a shrew that he and his hunting buddy saw take out a bat one year during moose season. Bats are unique in many ways, some obvious and some not so obvious. One way you might not be aware of is the fact that they only give birth to one young per year. Many small mammals are known for large litters of young, but female bats give birth to one winged but hairless young, called a pup, each year. A part of that could be that bats can have a much longer lifespan than many other small mammals, often exceeding 10 years, with some individuals living longer than 20 years. Despite the fact we seem to have a decent number of bats around our state, there's still a lot of stuff about them that's a bit of a mystery. For example, what do they do in the winter? Insect-eating mammals and our cold winters would seem to mean something's got to give, right? While it's thought that bats do migrate to some degree, say a few hundred miles or so, there have also been examples around the state recently suggesting that they do hibernate here as well. Scientists are still trying to get a good read on the whole migration versus hibernation thing as it relates to bats. The bottom line is that no one's really completely sure how much of each strategy exists and when or why each happens. So Alaska has bats. More specifically, our area has little brown bats, both by common name and description. In closing, I'd like to toss out a suggestion, and that's that our area could do with a few more bats. Anything that's helping in the war on mosquitoes has my full support. And while I say that somewhat jokingly, you can actually help to promote the residency of more bats through building and putting up bat houses. Bat houses are broad, flattened wooden affairs and look a bit like a thin birdhouse without an access hole. That's because the entryway for the bats is through a slit in the bottom. I've read that bat houses haven't really caught on or been very successful in our state yet, though they have been very successful across much of the lower 48. Bat houses are normally constructed of wood. I won't try to describe any designs, but will suggest if it's something you are interested in, there's a good number of designs online. Also, kits and completed houses can be purchased online as well. If bats give you the heebie-jeebies, then maybe this isn't something you'll ever consider. But if bats don't seem all that threatening, and the idea of fewer mosquitoes is one you could warm up to, you might consider hanging a few of these around your yard. Maybe you attract bats, maybe you don't. But I don't think your property value will drop in either case. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.